Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Cubs lead 13-11, two down ninth inning.
Pop fly, shallow left, Swanson out. He's got it, and the Cubs win the ball game. Ryan Pressly gets the save. The Cubs coming from behind with a six-run rally in the bottom of the eighth inning. One of the wildest games that I've ever seen, but from a Cubs standpoint, it all turned out sweetly.
Oh my. Unbelievable.
Great call by Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer. Right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score of a Cubs 13-11 win over Arizona. I am Mark Grody, in with you up until 12:45, when it will be the Cubs in Arizona again. A Zach Gallen, Ben Brown pitching situation. The Cubs overcame Arizona's 10-run eighth. Has anybody ever overcome a 10-run inning? The Cubs did by scoring six in their portion of the eighth inning. Carson Babe Ruth Kelly with a three-run homer. Kyle Tucker, a two-run homer. How do you like it here, Kyle? Seiya Suzuki with a solo blast as well. And the Cubs beat Arizona 13-11. Ryan Pressly, my MVP for saving the game. I don't care about any of the home runs. I care about the reliever on either team that kept this game from becoming a 32-31 game, or a Cubs Phillies 80s era, or was it late 70s era 23-22 game where Mike Schmidt hits four or five home runs and Dave Kingman probably hit a couple as well. This was a legitimate wild game, and let's keep the Cubs talk cooking right now as we go out to Wrigley Field and bring in Megan Montemurro of the Chicago Tribune. Guest join us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Download the Circa Sports app today. Guest join us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Megan Montemurro, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing well. Tell us from the press box perspective how that game unfolded in your eyes. And trust me, I've covered millions of Cubs games and games throughout town. It's hard to kind of keep yourself from squirming and wanting to act out when crazy things are happening in a ball game. What was your perspective?
Well, I was actually off. So my perspective was following along and tuning in when I saw 10 runs go up on the board by the Diamondbacks. I mean, it seems like when these two teams play, some crazy games have happened in the last couple years. A lot of times it's been happening at Chase Field and Phoenix. But yeah, I mean, I think kind of what you said, I mean, you had a moment where, you know, your superstar in Kyle Tucker comes through with the big go-ahead home run in the bottom of the eighth. You know, I mean, that would have obviously been a devastating loss, and instead it becomes this euphoric win. And the fact that, you know, Ryan Pressly took care of business in the ninth, it was certainly a wild one, stuff that you don't see happen every day. It was only the sixth time since 1956 the Cubs have hit a grand slam and given up a grand slam in the same game. So
it's unbelievable.
It's pretty wild, and I think it really highlights, you know, why they're 13-9 going into today's game. I mean, the offense has continued to step up. Obviously, Carson Kelly and what they've been getting out of the catcher position offensively between him and Miguel Amaya has been huge, and really a 180 from what they got offensively from that group in the first half last year. And I think you're just seeing when you have that difference maker in Kyle Tucker, it makes everyone else around them better. You talking to hitters, I mean, they've all said it, not only just watching him, but just his presence. He doesn't go out of his zone very much. And so it's just been really impressive what they've been able to do.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about it. Such a great point about the catching situation. The Cubs do deserve credit for that, for bringing Carson Kelly, for continuing to develop Miguel Amaya. And I think we started to see him come along strong at the end of last season, and he's been keeping that up. We all know that Carson Kelly is not going to have a 1.675 OPS by the end of the season. But you got to, Megan, there's always that guy at the beginning of the season that is the outlier that does crazy things in the beginning of the season. And I'm glad that that person seems to exist right now with the Chicago Cubs. Things that got lost in the mix yesterday, important things, good and bad. We'll start with the good. And that is what Colin Ray did, you know, throwing with some velocity yesterday, 4 2/3, one run and five hits. And considering what happened from the seventh inning on in this game, I got to give a lot of credit to Colin Ray, and he's incredibly important right now. And I didn't know that he was going to be incredibly important at this point in the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that Craig Counsell talked about in spring training when Ben Brown was announced as the fifth starter. I mean, he was like, you know, Colin's going to take some important starts for us. He's going to start games for us this year. And you can see why they thought Colin Ray would be a valuable swing pitcher, a guy who can pitch multiple innings out of the bullpen if needed. And now, you know, with Justin Steele out for the season, right now being the guy filling his spot. And yeah, I mean, it's impressive when you see the velocity. He hit 96 in his last outing, which he joked that he had no idea where that came from. So I think it's really impressive. It'll be interesting to see kind of what they decide when Javier Assad is ready to come off the IL. He's supposed to make another start tomorrow. You figure maybe they give him one more at AAA, depending on how that goes. And then, you know, you have another decision of, you know, what to do with Assad, what to do with Colin Ray. But they talked about, and Jed Hoyer talked to those of us in San Diego about this the other day, that, you know, you're not going to be replacing Justin Steele right now. Like, you know, teams aren't trading that caliber of starting pitcher in April. And so they really invested in starting pitching depth in the offseason and really believe that's what's going to help them navigate this situation right now. And Colin Ray was obviously a big piece of that offseason investment and trying to find a guy who can fill that role. So, if you're the Cubs, you're happy with what you've been getting out of him so far.
Yeah, and your point about that also transfers to the third base situation, where I believe the Cubs will eventually try to get somebody in here to man that position, but it's going to take some patience here as things play out early in the season before you start to see some players that are vulnerable to being traded. And we'll talk more about that in a second, but before I forget, I want to bring this point up because actually it wasn't a small thing. It was in that eighth inning that, you know, Porter Hodge gives up the grand slam to Eugenio Suarez. Unfortunately, though, Jordan Wicks, who is another guy who is part of this, you know, quality depth of starters and relievers for the Cubs, it was Jordan Wicks who loaded the bases on three straight singles. You cannot blame the wind on that. All sharp hits against him. He didn't have it. What was going on with Jordan Wicks yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, for Wicks, it really comes down to command. And, you know, especially with that changeup of his, he needs it to be effective. I mean, you look at where his pitch location, you know, on the second hit, he left a sweeper up in the zone. Like, that's going to get hit every time. Another sweeper he threw to Gurriel, the last batter he faced, was a sweeper literally right down the middle. So really for him, it's command. And if he can't command his changeup, his off-speed stuff, that's going to make a really difficult day for him. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of how they handle him. You know, you don't want to, again, burn your depth, and he does have value as a starter. Obviously, you know, they briefly had a second true lefty reliever with Luke Little, and then he had all those walks in San Diego and immediately got optioned. So it'll be interesting to see how they use Wicks for the foreseeable future, because, you know, in spring training, you know, Council is pretty adamant that he was going to be a starter for at least the first half of the season, because, you know, you don't want to burn through your depth that early. But also, you know, they need guys that can throw strikes, because the bullpen has really been struggling with that. They need to find guys that they can count on. And again, it's something that Jed Hoyer talked to us about in San Diego of, you know, you have this depth. I would not be surprised to see them be more aggressive in this first half of cycling through relievers, optioning guys, you know, calling up, sending down, to try and find a good mix where, especially in those middle innings, that they can find guys that they can trust to get to the high leverage spots.
Talking to Megan Montemurro of the Chicago Tribune. She is the Cubs beat writer for the Chicago Tribune. Cubs beat Arizona yesterday 13-11. Cubs in Arizona 12-45 on the score today. Zach Gallen against Ben Brown. I am Mark Grody here with you up until the start of said pregame show. As for the third base situation, it was funny because Craig Counsell talked a lot about that spot before the game and kind of the platooning and just rotating third baseman. And then I actually felt bad for Vidal Bruhan, who gets that shot at third base and then made sort of a weird error, gloved it really well, and then the ball just kind of pops out of his hand. So you had that, and then Gage work. And he also, by the way, struck out with the bases loaded at one point in time with nobody out looking. And then you had Gage Workman, who was apparently not charged with an error on that two-run play. That two-run turned out to be a two-run hit at third base. But for guys trying out for the position and Matt Shaw having been sent down, I'm afraid that was kind of a worst-case scenario yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tricky, and it's going to be interesting how they navigate it. I mean, they clearly still believe in Matt Shaw. I mean, that was definitely an emphasis from what Jed Hoyer and Craig Counsell said Tuesday when talking about the decision, or Monday. But, you know, they need to get Matt Shaw locked in, and they felt like he was in the batter's box looking like he was kind of in – survival mode, which is not where you want your young hitter to be. Yes, he was getting some walks, but as Counsell had noted, that was kind of just like a byproduct of kind of trying to find your pitch and maybe not really having a great feel in the box. And so he actually was saying how he'd prefer to see fewer walks from Matt Shaw, because it means that he's being aggressive and swinging with intent. And so, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Shaw handles the demotion. You know, again, as Hoyer and Counsell both talked about, like, this isn't an uncommon path. You know, a lot of young players, top prospects, come up only to get sent back down for a stretch to work on stuff. You know, they talk to him about making sure his posture stays good and he doesn't get too hunched over in his batting stance. Obviously, he has a very high leg kick, and then it sounds like, you know, they talk to him about maybe lowering the height of that and trying to find a good middle ground. It paid off last year when they've made some adjustments with young guys like Pete Crow Armstrong, adding the leg kick for him, or Miguel Amaya getting rid of his leg kick. Both those guys took off in the second half after making some adjustments. So, you know, they've said, like, the best case scenario is Matt Shaw is still their third baseman and he comes back up and, you know, takes ownership of that job. But yeah, in the meantime, you know, there's not a great everyday option to roll out there. And it's going to be interesting to see how long they're willing to continue to go with Gage Workman. Do they, you know, try and find a more veteran guy, you know, there aren't a lot of appealing options that aren't Matt Shaw, you know, getting right. So it's going to be interesting to see how they address that.
It has, pardon me if I don't know this, but has Justin Turner played third base at all yet for the Cubs this year? And could that happen if he hasn't?
Yeah, he started a game at Dodger Stadium. It's not their preference for him to be out there with any regularity. Really, he's viewed as DH, pinch hitter, platoon with Michael Busch at first base facing lefty starters. So he can be an option there, but it does not seem that they would want him to be out there every day.
Yeah, that was not the plan. The plan was Alec Bregman. That's really where the whole thing starts and ends. So, and I know that obviously at least Jed Hoyer made an earnest effort in that. Like I said, Zach Gallen against Ben Brown. So, are we just going to see Ben Brown the starter until further notice? Like, is he a starter? Have they committed to him as being a starter for this season?
I mean, I don't know with a pitcher that young and still gaining experience that you can declare that he's a starter for the season. But, I mean, right now he's been pitching well enough that, yeah, you continue rolling with him. I think what he did against the Dodgers in L.A. was very impressive. I mean, he neutralized a very difficult lineup with basically just going – he literally only threw fastball, curveball. And, you know, those two pitches are so good for him. The way he can manipulate his curveball to get different pitch shape, you know, it's really interesting. I mean, he talked about in spring training wanting to develop his changeup, so, you know, he has another third pitch. But as Council said after that start against the Dodgers, you know, it's one of those things where if it's working, you keep going with what's working. And, yeah, it'll be really interesting to see. I mean, obviously it's another really tough challenge today against the Diamondbacks team that hits right-handers really well. But if you're the Cubs, I think you've been pleased with what you've been seeing from Ben Brown this year. And I think you keep rolling with that as long as you can.
No doubt. You know, it was really nice yesterday, Meg. I know you weren't down there for Craig Counsell's post game, but I'm positive that you watched it. Wasn't it nice to see Craig Counsell smiling at the beginning of that and just kind of throwing his arms up and not trying to make any sense of really what happened yesterday?
Yeah, I do think that's something that Council has a good feel for. Like, there's plenty of times where he's like, that's baseball. Like, you can get mad about it. You can get happy about it. But, like, sometimes there's just not an explanation for things that have happened or what you just witnessed. I think that's what makes baseball great and why so many people love it.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I said at the opening. Like, that's why I'm not here today going off on Porter Hodge or any of the bullpeners and this. You know, we obviously addressed Jordan Wicks, but this yesterday is not a day to be pissed off. You just sort of let it. This happens in sports where you can't explain it. Maybe you didn't deserve it, but it certainly happened. Megan Montemurro, it is always great to have you on the Score. Great information, and we will talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. That is Megan Montemurro of the Chicago Tribune talking about the 13-9 Cubs. We'll bring you the pregame coming up at 12:45. I am Mark Grody, and when we return, we've got lots of Bearsness to talk about. We've got a tight end dilemma in the draft. We have a defensive coordinator of the Bears to hear from, who I think I know who he wants the Bears to draft. So I'll give you an idea of that. Plus, the Bears have an offensive line coach who has a really simple idea for Caleb Williams this year. We are talking Bears next on the Score.
Let's question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What's up? I only have a little bit of time left here. Cubs baseball coming up at 12:45. That's when Zach Zabin will bring the pregame show live from Wrigley Field. Cubs and Diamondbacks rematch after a wild one yesterday. Zach Gallen against Ben Brown. You've been hearing about all our draft previews and things that are going down. I get to do a draft pre-show tomorrow with Anthony Herron from 6 o'clock until 9 o'clock. And then on Thursday night, I will get to be with Dave Wanstead, breaking down exactly what the Bears do. Judson Richards will be with us as well. Got the three-man booth going on Thursday. And then I will again be with Anthony Herron 6 to 9 on Friday for day two of the draft and the second rounder. So what an awesome week, man. I'm like constantly filled with Bears adrenaline considering the week that is coming up and the week that we just had. Shout out to all of the people that came to our live edition of the Take the North podcast, which we did in our performance studio, the Blue Cross Blue Shield performance studio at the Score, where many a cool bands have come through. The cool Take the North show with myself and Dan Wiederer was that day. So thank you, thank you, thank you for everybody who made time to come out in the middle of the week in rush hour in the rain. And we had a packed house. So it meant a lot to Dan. It meant a lot to me. So it was fun. And I invite you to that episode. If you missed it, that episode is up and running. No funny stuff here. The free podcast, wherever you find your podcast, I encourage you to listen to the Take the North podcast because we give Dan and I, Dan gave you something in that episode too regarding TJ Edwards. So I would invite you to listen to our insights always on the Take the North podcast. Let's get serious here, though, about the Bears and the draft, because it is coming. It is getting real. No more playing games here. You know, I have been on for a while. I've had guys, but my most recent guy has been Tyler Warren, you know, for a while now. Like, Tyler Warren's been the guy. 1,233 yards last year with Penn State, 8 touchdowns. He can rush the ball, 218 yards rushing. I saw him throwing the football. So Tyler Warren is an it guy at the tight end position. There's a fellow Big Tenner, though, who is also considered an it guy at the tight end position, and that's Colston Loveland, again, of the Michigan Wolverines. And I don't know that I had heard anybody talk about the possibility that Colston Loveland could be a better tight end, a better fit for the Chicago Bears than Tyler Warren, until I heard Matt Miller saying it on the afternoon show of Spiegel and Holmes.
I think Loveland is a better route runner. I think he's a better blocker, and I think he's a better athlete. And I know folks in Chicago watch a lot of Big Ten football. What you saw last year was Tyler Warren be schemed a ton of opportunities, which is awesome. They were smart. Penn State did a really good job because they didn't have any wide receivers. So it's like, hey, let's scheme our best offensive player a ton of touches. And it led to huge production. I worry a little bit about Tyler Warren being able to find those openings and find that production in the NFL on his own. With Colston Loveland, I have none of those concerns because he is a better route runner and he is a better athlete. At Michigan, he played in the slot. He played in line. He's a very good run blocker from both of those positions. So I like both guys. I'm not going to disparage Tyler Warren. He's a great player. I would just prefer Colston Loveland. I think he's an easier evaluation as you project those skills to the NFL.
Sounds like the Bears would win either way. You know, and I don't know that necessarily wins me over to the Colston Loveland side of things. I think I'm sticking with Tyler Warren. I do think that he is probably the better product. And it's interesting because one of the things that Matt Miller is talking about is the fact that, you know, Tyler Warren was schemed up more, that he knew exactly where to go, knew what to do, and maybe not as athletic as Colston Loveland. But guess what? What does Ben Johnson do so well? He schemes the hell out of guys. He has an exact plan of what he wants to do in games. And oftentimes, as we saw it, once that Detroit offense got cooking and they had the right offensive linemen in the right place, Dirty Frank Ragnow and Penny Sewell and company, he was able to scheme guys up and doing exactly what he wants to do with guys. So that actually, to me, all due respect to Matt Miller, sounds like Tyler Warren would actually be the better fit for somebody like Ben Johnson. Not that he doesn't allow for drawing outside of the lines, improvising, all of that kind of stuff. But if you want the exact, I think Tyler Warren is the better fit. Now, realistically, is he going to be available at number 10? The answer is I don't know. I mean, it's just been the
the volatility. It's like the stock market, man. Like things change fast, such as I remember at the beginning of this thing, my first guy was Mason Graham. I said, I'm focusing on that guy, Mason Graham. For the record, that was before they brought in Dio Dangbo and Grady Jarrett, the big time improvements on the defense, at least I think. So that was before that. Mason Graham was my guy, but then I thought there's no way in hell. Like, great defensive linemen don't last long on boards in a top 10 in the draft, especially where there's not like seven quarterbacks available this year. So Mason Graham, but now I'm starting to hear from people in the know that it is not inconceivable that Mason Graham would be available in the number 10 spot. Now, I don't know if that is good or bad, because that might mean that he's falling because GMs and scouts are falling out of love with him. I mean, the thing about Mason Graham, like the dig on him that people like to say, is he's not athletic, which, of course, I was at the combine right in front of Mason
Graham.
Busting
out the less impression. I was waiting for that today. I was going to ask you earlier too, until you got into the Cubs thoughts. I wanted a less impression of, instead of you working the Cubs, less doing the Cubs.
Doesn't matter. Nobody lets me in over there. Let me tell you about some of the people that work there. KMA. You know, Les wasn't loud at Wrigley in the end, so it would have been impossible for Les to do a lot of controversy. Les Grobstein, you know, low-key things going on. Oh, you're not going to let me in. KMA. But anyway, Mason Graham, like, I'm hearing that it's possible that he could be there. And listening to Dennis Allen, we're not going to have time to play all of Dennis Allen, because I'd rather get to Roshar in a second here, but I will paraphrase Dennis Allen really leaning into the inside pressure. And I get it. That's the right way to speak about a 4-3 defense, right? Ideally, you don't want to have to blitz a lot, and you want to depend on, you know, the existing guys that were there, Jervon Dexter and Andrew Billings and Montez Sweat, to do the dirty work in the middle to present or allow the lanes for your defensive ends to come up and get to the quarterback. So that is not like an original thought, but it just makes me think here, because, you know, Zach Pickens, I don't want to call him a lost cause, but let's face it, the guy was inactive at times last year. That is not good at this point for a third round pick. Jervon Dexter, like, I think that he could still be on the rise. Fast start to last year, so by no means have I given up on that. Could still be a really good product. And then the other part of this too is, because I've had some people question me on that, like if Mason Graham is there. And actually, my guy Marshall Harris yesterday pressed me into my 2.0 pick live on the air on the Midday Show, if you want to check that out on the Odyssey app. And I went with Mason Graham. And people are a little curious. Hey, man, they just got Grady Jarrett. They've got Dio Dangbo, who they're probably going to place all over the line. Why would you need another guy? Guys, think about this. Who won the Super Bowl last year? The Eagles, EA, yes, and they have, and even the previous time that they went to the
Bears,
Super Bowl.
Eagles, EAGALES.
Tyler Farengel, you are the absolute best. Even that, when they went to the Super Bowl previous to that, they had this
KMA.
Unbelievable rotation of defensive linemen. So no shame in, no gluttony whatsoever in drafting Mason Graham if he is available. So that is the guy that I went with in 2.0. I know that there has been, Tyler Farengel tells me during the break that he did his own little mock draft. And when he did his own mock, was it Kelvin Banks you said that you came up with? Kelvin Banks?
So my first one back in February, I had Kelvin Banks going number 10 to the Bears. And then the one that I did this week, I actually had Shamar Stewart going number 10 and Kelvin Banks going number 11 to San Francisco.
Okay. A lot of people like Shamar Stewart, lower sack numbers, but like, he is an athlete.
I am also sad to say too, Grody, I did have Mason Graham going at 5 to Jacksonville.
You know what? I'm actually looking at one of my boards. I've got this big cardboard piece of paper that I carry with me everywhere I go. And on the sheet right now, highlighted in yellow, number 5, Jacksonville to Mason Graham. But that was before yesterday that I had said Mason Graham to the Bears. One more cut before we get out of here. I want you to listen to Dan Rochar talking about what the presence of Drew Dahlman, Joe Tooney, and Jonah Jackson can do, those inside guys on the offensive line. What can you do for Caleb Williams?
Well, think about it. Right now, you give the guy the ability to step into the pocket, not out of the pocket. If it's not coming at me directly, and we dealt with this with Drew in New Orleans, very similar in stature with Caleb. The ability to step up, see the field, get the ball out, that's valued. And if I've got people to step away from or move because of penetration, edges, that becomes even more challenging for any quarterback.
That's quite a concept, right? Allowing Caleb Williams to step into the pocket as opposed to stepping out of it. I mean, it's very rudimentary. You know, his size came up as well, and the comps to Drew Brees and just offered yesterday, it's true. Like, Caleb Williams is not a prototypically, in terms of height for a quarterback. Nothing that is going to keep him from being great, but there might be some adjustments, and it sounds like this staff understands that. So it's a good start. It's a lot of talk, ladies and gentlemen. I get it. Hey, even leading up to the draft, everything is talk. I understand. Hey, man, I've been here my whole life. It all sounds good, but I will say, from being there, and I've been covering the Bears intimately on an everyday basis since 2018, in terms of the position coaches and the coordinators, the plan that they have and what's coming out of their mouths, it seems to be more impressive than anything that I've heard. But we will see. We're going to need to see this all in motion and see it happen for real on the field. Trust me, I get that. Thank yous to everybody for listening to this show. I appreciate you very much. If you've been texting, I'm sorry. I don't have my text line up. We got a new text line, and there's passwords involved and things like that. So I do appreciate you texting if you were indeed texting. A big shout out to Tyler Farengol, who produced 2 shows here on The Score. So thanks to Baby T for producing the show. And shout out to Gabe Ramirez for giving you that particular nickname. Thank you to Mark Schanowski for coming on the show. For Megan Montemurro, Cubs baseball is coming up next. Zach Zabin has your pregame. Cubs and Arizona rematch. What will happen today? I'm Mark Grody, everybody. Have a great day.
Hey, Grody, what's up?
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.